scores! Gilmore scores! The ball, three left!
Off the glass, to left corner to Aguila. Aguila to the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot, save, made by Aguila. Rebound, another shot, they score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
Well, let's get it going on a Thursday. It is a Thursday, May 29th, and we welcome you to this hour of Flames Talk on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, and live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Welcome to Power Play at Self Center Mall. We're here at Power Play Entertainment for Flames Talk. It is the first official event at Power Play is this weekend. We've got bowling, we got the arcade, golf simulators, baseball simulators, movie theater, and a whole lot more. We'll tell you about what we're doing here at Power Play at South Center as the day goes along. It's Steinberg, and look who's sitting beside me. Look who the cat dragged back in. Wes Gilbertson with us for the rest of the week, fresh off a little jaunt to the UK. Welcome back, buddy.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. It's good to see you. Here's what I'll say as we're getting the hour started. It is a Flames Talk mailbag first hour, so get your questions in at 960-960. We're into the final days of May. We'll probably have time for one more mailbag before the NHL draft. So we'll do one here on this Thursday. Then we'll do some. We'll do one at some point in late June ahead of the NHL draft. But there is a lot to sink your teeth into as we're into late May. So we're waiting on some contracts to be signed. We're just over a month from unrestricted free agency starting. We're less than a month away from the NHL draft. All of it's on the table. Get your questions in at 960-960. Put your name on it if you want a little credit for who's asking the question. And as you know, we'll get to as many texts if you're listening live on the Flames Talk mailbag as we possibly can. So start getting them in now at 960-960. It's crazy to think, Wes, that we are now a month, less than a month away from the NHL draft. Free agency is just over a month away, and the Stanley Cup final hasn't even started yet. So there's still plenty of hockey left before everything starts to wrap up. And certainly from a Flames standpoint, things are going to start to ramp up a little bit in the next number of weeks, especially into that final week of June and into the first week of July.
Yeah, it sort of feels like we'll come out of the lull soon enough, doesn't it? Like, things are, you said there's a lot of hockey left, and depending on tonight, obviously, what are we talking? 5, 6, 7, 8 more games in the NHL season, and then buckle up. It's amazing how fast the attention turns from the final night of the Stanley Cup final to suddenly into the draft, free agency. It's like someone quite literally flips a switch and off we go.
We haven't had a ton of Flames news in quite some time. Again, if you're listening live, 960-960, if you want to get your questions in a Flames Talk mailbag, we got all hour, but obviously, as you know, they start coming a whole lot more rapid fire in the back part of the hour, so get your questions in now at 960-960. We'll spend as much time as we can on each one and get to as many as we can, but haven't had any real Flames news since the Matt Coronato contract extension. Things are pretty quiet when it comes to other contract extensions, whether it be a Kevin Ball extension, who would be, I think, the next one on the docket, Connor Zary's extension. We don't have any, there hasn't been any news on, so on and so forth. So it's been a pretty quiet last number of weeks since the Coronato extension got done.
Yeah, and I can only imagine that Craig Conroy kind of continues to chip away at some of those other ones. I know, Brad Treliving back in the news today, obviously, with his press conference in Toronto, but he pointed out time and time again in his tenure as Flames GM, hey, these things get done as you get closer to a deadline, whether that happens to be qualifying deadline, whether that might be in the case of the UFAs getting towards July 1st, whatever it might be. Right now, we're sort of, buddy, in a no deadline time, right? Like, there's nothing
imminent at all.
No, there's nothing that can change. Use Kevin Ball as an example. In contract negotiations on a long-term deal with Kevin Ball, nothing can change between now and September or October. And that doesn't mean that a deal's not going to get done. It's just both sides, I think, are just kind of, you know, standing pat right now. And that's perfectly understandable. I do expect all these dominoes to start to fall pretty quickly.
Well, let's get to them. Questions starting to come in at 960-960. Put your name on it if you want. Get your question in at 960-960. We'll get to as many as we possibly can this hour on a little Flames Talk mailbag. It's Steinberg and Wes on this hour of Flames Talk on a Thursday. Neil in Okotoks is first up. What are your thoughts on the Flames trading up in the draft? I think they should, but to what pick? So the Flames right now have number 18 and anywhere between 29. Now it'll be anywhere between 31 and 32.
Yeah.
So they'll have the 18th
anywhere
over,
in that range.
They'll have the 18th overall selection and then one of the 31st or 32nd, depending who wins the Stanley Cup final. I think that
Flames fans are hoping for 32.
At this point, yeah. At this point, what's the deal? 31 or 32? Yeah, you want 32 at this point. I feel like moving up could be in the cards, but not as meaningfully as I think some would like. Like, I don't think you're moving into the top five. I don't think you're going to be able to move up even into the top 10. But could you move? You know, we had Scott Wheeler on with us on Wednesday's show from The Athletic, and he went through a lot of the 2025 draft class and talked a lot about some of the different groups and ledges or levels or whatever they may be. And where the Flames are at 18, there's a feeling that it could be just outside of a premier group of players. So if the Flames really want a specific center iceman, for instance, mm-hmm. they might have to move from 18 to 15, and I could see that happening. But could I see them moving up a few spots? Yeah, I could. Could I see them moving up a significant amount into the top 10? Probably not. And honestly, it just doesn't happen. We just don't see teams move into the top five very often in this day and age.
Yeah, not really. I think every year you hear the conversation, so-and-so thought they had a deal for this pick, or, you know, there was talk about these two teams maybe flip-flopping. But that always involves a team that has a pick pretty close to the top five anyways, right? Well, a team that's trading out of, let's say, the top five doesn't want to go, in most cases, lower than, say, 7 or 8. And that really puts the Flames at a, you know, it puts them in a tough spot to try to make a massive move up. Is, you know, I've said this before, and I think it's a hang up the phone moment for Craig Conroy. If you phone a team about moving up to third or fourth or fifth, they're asking for Zane Parekh.
Yeah.
Like, I have zero question that's the ask. And if you're not willing to do it, and the Flames wouldn't be, then it's sort of a non-starter. Where I am curious, and you talk about moving up maybe three or four spots, the guy I'm curious about is Roger McQueen. And I wonder what the sort of medical side has shown and whether the Flames would be willing to take that risk if he starts to fall. And for those who aren't familiar, McQueen's a center for the Brandon Wheat Kings, a big boy, a ton of talent, would not be a guy getting selected in the teens if not for lingering back issues.
Yep.
And so I guess maybe some pause that comes with the fact that Caden Lindstrom, after being selected by the Blue Jackets, has played such little hockey this year. I do wonder if McQueen starts to fall because of health concerns, if there's a trade-up option. And to answer the question that Neil in Okotoks has, is that a risk that the Flames would be willing to take? Are you willing to take on the injury risk in sort of conjunction with the cost of moving up. Few pegs? I don't think it happens, but that's the one. You know, if McQueen's still sitting there at 14 or 15, then I start to wonder.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And the other guy that I don't know if you'd have to move up for, but that Ivan Ryabkin, again, natural center mm-hmm. with a boatload of high-end talent, a boatload of ceiling, right?
Yeah. Had a really good playoffs in the USHL, too.
Really picked up his game yeah. after coming over from Russia. again, he's one of those guys. They need centers, and they need guys who don't project to be number three centers. And both McQueen and Ryabkin may not get to being number one centers,
right,
but at the very least, there is that potential ceiling with both of those guys.
A much better chance than, say, a Jack Nesbitt, who is looked at as a very safe pick, but a safe pick because he's going to be a middle six center. And I'm regurgitating what the scouts are saying. I don't know enough about any
of neither of us. Neither of us pretend to be draft experts because we just aren't.
Yeah, but if you have a chance to take a swing at a guy who you think has number one center upside, even if there's more risk, whether that's McQueen's injury, whether, you know, it's the sort of question mark about, okay, well, is the Russian staying in North America? What's happening there? I could see them taking that risk to land a number one. I just, that'll be a conversation that they're having in every amateur scouting meeting. What is the risk here? What is the upside, and is it worth it?
This one from Colin. Keep them coming. And they are starting to flood in now. So the mailbag is in full swing on this edition of Flames Talk 960-960. Colin writes, I keep hearing people say they should trade Anderson. To me, it would make more sense to keep him as a mentor for the young defenseman coming up. What's your take? So, Wes, this is not about whether the Flames want Rasmus Anderson in the fold. This is not about whether or not they want Rasmus Anderson going forward. What this is about is, are they comfortable with Rasmus Anderson being re-signed at what the Anderson camp might be looking at? And I don't think it would be out of the question to think that the Anderson camp would be looking at 8 years, hoping to get an eight-year deal out of the Flames, and if not, looking at a seven-year deal in unrestricted free agency if they can get it. And that's what this comes down to, is does it make more sense for the Flames to shake Rasmus's hand, make a move, and get some nice return in a trade for a really good value contract? Or does it make the most sense to sign him to an eight-year deal? Because I think the ideal for the Flames would kind of be in that 5-6 year range.
Right.
And I just don't know if the Anderson camp is going to go for that. And it's got to be ideal for the team. If it's not going to be ideal for the team, then maybe a trade is where it ends up going. And that's why you keep hearing people talk about an Anderson trade.
Well, and I think muddying the waters a little further, and Colin asks about, would it be ideal to have Rasmus Anderson around as a mentor to those young guys? And I think for the next couple seasons, well, yeah, obviously it would, but sort of muddying the conversation is that you expect those young guys to be playing prominent roles sooner than later. And so you have Mackenzie Weegar as a right-handed defenseman signed for six more seasons. If you lock up Rasmus Anderson, well, where are you putting the duo of Zane Parekh and Hunter Brustevich? And both of those guys I expect to have long and successful careers in Calgary. And so I think that's where, at least the way I look at it, it started to shift a little is, man, if these two young guys are going to be as advertised, and certainly the early returns look really positive, you know, how long do you want to go with Rasmus Anderson? And that's where a lot of people are coming from as the trade speculation continues to pick up. And so, you know, to answer Colin, yeah, I think you would like him to be around to mentor some of those kids. I think back to what he said on locker cleanout day about one of the reasons he was playing on a broken ankle is he thinks it's important to show some of the young guys you're not always going to feel great in the NHL. And yet, how long is he around as a mentor? And then how much longer is he signed when maybe, you know, maybe the chicks are ready to sort of spread their wings a little
bit? Yep. Here's Mark in Chestermere at 960-960. What other teams in the Western Conference do you predict making big jumps and or big falls around the Flames in the standings? I like that one. So in terms of teams that I could see dropping out of the playoffs to maybe open the door for the Flames next year are St. Louis. I still don't know what St. Louis is. The Blues had to go on an incredible run that rivaled their Stanley Cup run just to make the playoffs. They made the playoffs, and then they got beat by Winnipeg in an epic seven-game series. So I could see St. Louis being a bubble team, but not a surefire playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
I still am skeptical of the LA Kings, and I know the Kings finished with 105 points, but I could see the Kings, depending on what happens in their offseason, they got a lot of decisions to make, and guys are just going to keep getting older. I could see the Kings being a team that drops a little bit in terms of teams, and I think Vancouver is going to be in a world of hurt again next season. Teams that I could see making a jump are Utah and Anaheim.
Yeah, I'm going to have a pretty boring list because it's so similar to yours. I do wonder, I'd throw the Minnesota Wild in the mix of teams that could drop a little, and I'm not myself, as I say that, necessarily convinced that will be the case. Obviously, there's some high-end talent there. Zeev Bouyam just came in. Huge fan of Faber on the blue line. They've got some contracts up front that they have to get sorted out, obviously, and so I wonder whether the Wild become a team that dip. The only thing that gives me more confidence in the St. Blues is a lot of their surge came as a result of some of the young players, right? Dylan Holloway, who comes from Red Creek, a huge part of that. Obviously, Jordan Kyrou and Robert Thomas, who are still relatively young players, were massive difference makers for that team. And I agree with you on the Kings, especially because I wonder if they start relenting on switching away from that defensive, basically, trap that they've been playing for a while. Like, at some point, they are going to move away from that, and I just wonder what the immediate result of that is, and I couldn't agree more with the Anaheim Ducks as a team that, for me, they're ready to take that next step. They've got a ton of really good young pieces. We talk so much about Dustin Wolf. I know you and I have talked plenty about the respect we have for Lucas Dostal, who's also going to be a star goaltender in the NHL, and so they'd be top of my knocking at the door list for sure.
Let's hear from Curtis in Cranston, who says, who are realistic targets for the Flames to go after to better their team? So earlier this week, you weren't here. You were still in jolly old England.
How do you know I wasn't listening, though? It was pretty late. That was the only thing holding me back.
Yeah, midnight. You're in bed for six hours.
I am not a midnight guy.
Logan and I identified two realistic-ish trade targets for the Flames.
Okay.
Marco Rossi in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Who I think is also an interesting offer sheet candidate for a team like the Flames if they can avoid getting to the first round pick threshold. So I think that's just under $4.68 million. Like, say you offered him a 2-year, $4.5 million deal. So 2 times 4.5, 9 over 2. And then with kind of the understanding that, hey, and then we'll think about going long term after even the first year, we just can't give up the first round pick in compensation in the Gavin McKenna draft.
So
Marco Rossi was one of them, so I think he's a really interesting target. I think that we're talking about a guy that could be had, is a natural center. Yes, I'm aware he's a left shot, but natural center.
Yeah.
Young, former first-round pick, back-to-back 20-goal scorer, career-high 60 points this year, didn't play in a super high leverage role all season long, and it does feel like there is a way he could be got from Minnesota. Bowen Byram is the other one, because we keep hearing about Byram. So those would be two names that I would look at, Bowen Byram in Buffalo, Marco Rossi in Minnesota. And then we're hearing more and more about Sam Bennett maybe signing in Toronto. And maybe the Panthers do find a way to keep Bennett when it's all said and done. But I do think that if he makes it to unrestricted free agency, we'll see the Flames put some sort of offer on the table in that regard as well.
Yeah, I'd reiterate my fear about taking a run at Sam Bennett. I say that because he's having another terrific playoffs. And Sam Bennett is going to get overpaid on his next contract.
He is.
Especially if it's anywhere outside of Florida. I think his options might come down to stay in Florida for maybe a little bit more of a I wouldn't say a discount contract, but certainly not what he would get on the open market. I think if he hits the open market based on his past couple of seasons and playoffs in particular, he's going to get well overpaid. And I wouldn't want anything to do with that if I were the Flames. Yep. I don't dislike the idea of taking a run at Marco Rossi. He's a guy. How often have we heard the Flames in recent seasons talk about an acquisition and then say, well, and he didn't put up a lot of points on the power play? This year was the first year where he did, you know, 7 power play goals and 16 power play points. But before that, he basically wasn't seeing man advantage time in Minnesota. I think that has the earmarkings of a guy that the Flames would look at. I don't disagree on Byram, although I wonder about the price. A name I've brought up in the past as a UFA candidate is Ryan Lindgren. Finished the season in Colorado, left-handed shot, a guy who you know can play in a top four role. I wonder if there's a potential fit there. And yet, on top of all that, I'll just say I think we might still in Calgary be one off season away from one of those big swings.
Yeah.
That's the way I feel. That's not necessarily based on anything I've heard or any hints I'm getting, but I just wonder if this might be more of a quiet summer at the Saddledome.
Tim and Moose Jaw, with the Flames needing center iceman, if you packaged a player like Huberdeau and a couple picks on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being not at all and 10 being a done deal, what do you think the odds are the Lightning would send Braden Point to the Flames? I'm not sure if Point has a no-move clause or not, but maybe he's willing to come back home. I got, and this is not to be dismissive of the question, Tim, but that would be as pretty close to a 1 as yeah, we're getting right
probably
now.
Probably a 0.5.
Huberdeau with a rough contract. He's, what did he end up with points this year? Did he end up 60-something?
Yeah, might have been 60 right on the button.
Braden Point's a perennial 90-point guy who is a number one center in this league. He had 62, by the way.
62.
I just, there's no way I could see the Lightning, who still have Stanley Cup aspirations. They're not rebuilding anytime soon. I can't see a way that they would move off their number one center in any way, shape, or form.
Well, and he's one of the legitimate snipers in the NHL right now. He had 42 goals this year, which was actually down from last year when he had 46, which was actually down from the year before when he scored 51. And I don't lay out those stats to suggest that Braden Point is in any way declining. If you've been over 40 three straight seasons, you're an absolutely elite company in the NHL. It might be what him and Draisaitl might be the two on that list.
Yeah,
I'd have to go and look exactly, but no, and even, you know, take away the Huberdeau part, you're not offloading that contract for that sort of talent in return and Braden Point. So even take Huberdeau out of the equation, I would say it's pretty close to a 1, and that was not at all, that the Flames could put together any sort of package, up any sort of package that would pry Braden Point out of Tampa.
This is from Lucas in Calgary. If both players play the entire year for Calgary, who scores more goals, Morgan Frost, Joel Farabee, or Connor Zeri? Huh.
I like this question.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
So 82 games or a full season for both or all three of those players.
You know what? Let me take this one
first.
You
go first.
And let me just put a little more pressure on you, because I'm just going to rank them 1 to 3.
Okay.
Connor Zeri, Joel Farabee, Morgan Frost. I think Connor Zeri should, as long as he stays healthy, be no doubt a 20-plus goal scorer. I think that Farabee, as long as they can find a fit for him in the lineup, probably winds up somewhere in the teens. And those who listen often know that I'm still wondering what Morgan Frost is. I think offensively he's certainly more of a playmaker. I do expect in a full season in Calgary that they'll that they'll try to come up with some different things that will have him maybe more impactful on the power play, but I would have him third on that list of potential scorers.
I just don't know where I'm putting Farabee, which makes it harder for me to put
him in the lineup, you mean?
In the lineup, yeah. Like with Coronado being who he is and with, you know, Zeri being in the top nine if he's healthy, like where does Farabee fit? Huberto, Kadri, Klapka. Like, I don't know where Farabee fits.
Yeah, and I would add that Joel Farabee, and this is based on limited viewings, but I would say he's not strong on his off wing. I didn't like Joel Farabee
on the right
very much at all. And so that further limits the options of where you might put him.
And for that reason, I go Zeri 1, Frost 2, Farabee 3.
Fair.
So I would say Zeri, but we're both on the same page that Zeri would end up with the most points if they were to all play, or most goals, rather, if they were to all play 82 games. Okay, keep your questions coming. It's the Flamestock Mailbag this hour on Flamestock. Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson along with you. 960-960 on the text line. Thanks for being along with us. Put your name on the text. We'll get to as many as we can as we continue along on this Thursday from Power Play in South Center. Hey, can't find the latest episodes of your favorite HGTV, Discovery, and Food Network shows? Rogers Xfinity TV has the newest seasons of the top-rated shows on these popular channels, while other providers are no longer including them in their TV lineup. If your TV provider doesn't carry these channels, you're missing out on new seasons of Celebrity IOU, Hometown, Beat Bobby Flay, Expedition X, and more. Don't be fooled by other channels pretending to be these networks you know and love. Get the latest with Rogers Xfinity TV at Rogers.com.
This is Flamestock. Join the conversation at 960-960. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
From Power Play in South Center, it's Steinberg and West along with you on this hour of Flamestock as our Flamestock mailbag continues. Let's just keep going right now at 960-960. Keep your questions coming. Get to as many as we can before the end of the hour. Had some good ones so far, and we'll hit it a little bit more rapid fire in the last stretch of the hour. 40 in Fort Sask says, do you think a hockey trade with Toronto centered around Kadri and Nylander would work?
I think it would. I mean, I think you could make something happen. I'm sure that you could make something work. I don't know if that's something the Maple Leafs would be overly interested in doing. Look, I understand the Maple Leafs went out in Game 7 and Round 2, and I understand that under Brendan Shanahan they played 12 second-round games, and I understand all of that, but I don't know. You don't trade everyone away because you go out in Game 7 of the second round against the potential, you know, two-time Stanley Cup champion. I get it that Marner's going to move on, and maybe Tavares as well, and maybe they go and sign Bennett, maybe they do something else. But I don't think trading Nylander for a guy who's going to be 35 in October is the type of move the Maple Leafs would be looking at making.
Yeah, especially from my vantage point with the possibility that the so-called core four in Toronto gets dismantled anyways with Mitch Marner and potentially John Tavares leaving as free agents, I'd be really surprised if they moved another core piece out via trade. And to your point, especially for a guy who will be nearing the end, not necessarily the end of his career, but certainly his most impactful NHL years in Nazem Kadri.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big William Nylander fan. Big fan.
I'm not surprised.
Don't think he'll be a Flame.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that 40 had identified Nylander as the sort of guy the Flames could really use. You know, we talked about Braden Point being one of those pure goal scorers, and Nylander is that as well. I just don't know that he's up for sale.
Sean at work says, would the 18th overall pick, number 31 or 32, and Anderson get you pick number 4 from Utah? Would you gents do that trade if you're Conroy? I don't know if it would get you number 4. I mean, usually if you're going to be moving out of the top 5, you're moving from 4 to 8, not 4 to 18. Now, Utah wants to make the playoffs next year. Mm-hmm. Utah wants to kind of follow the Seattle mold and, you know, be super competitive and you know, be a factor in year two.
And Anderson would definitely help them. And the number four overall selection isn't going to help them as immediately as a guy like Rasmus would.
Right. What are you hoping to get it for? Desnoyer?
Desnoyer, or, you know.
Maybe Haggins.
If James Haggins is still there.
Yeah, okay.
Like one of the potential centers is what you're looking for.
Sure.
So I just don't. I don't know if that gets. I would do that if I'm the Flames. I would. I just don't know if I do that if I'm Utah.
Utah, yeah. I think.
I don't think it's completely out of the question, though. How's that?
I think Sean has targeted the right team. If you're going to trade up, if there's a team that might be willing to move that pick for more immediate returns, I think it would be Utah. And so I think Sean's onto something there. I guess in saying that, I'm not sure that the sweetener in said deal would necessarily be the other two first-round picks. Like, maybe they'd want 18 and another player in addition to Anderson. You know, would they ask for a Connor Zary, a guy that they feel like can help them get closer to their immediate goals? And then if you're looking at having to throw in, as Craig Conroy, one of your core pieces, does that change your answer? I don't know. I think it's the right target. I'm not sure the package necessarily is enough, especially without an extension for Anderson to get Utah
right
to bite.
Warren in Airdrie, I don't understand why it's even a thought that the Flames shouldn't be re-signing Rasmus or to trade him. I mean, he's their best defenseman. They should re-sign him. Again, it all comes down to Rasmus Anderson's 29. He'll be 30 when the new contract kicks in. Are you willing to give him the type of term that'll keep him in Calgary? Mm-hmm. And if the answer is no, you don't feel like that's the best thing for your organization, that's fair. And if Rasmus says, I don't want to sign for the term that is best for the organization, that is also fine. And fully his right. And that's when you say, okay, it's been a blast. Thank you for your, you know, decade plus in the organization. And you've been a great Flame. We're probably going to move you, but no hard feelings. And you know the same would be said from Rasmus. Must have said 25 times on locker cleanout day how he gets that it's a business. He knows.
Sure.
Guy's about as aware a guy as you're going to find in this league. And so he knows what the situation is, and that's why there's those talks.
Yeah, and I don't have too much to add, although I will maybe quibble with one thing that Warren said, and this is not because of the long-standing rivalry between my hometown of Cochrane and Warren's hometown of Airdrie, but I would say
I like Calgary.
Mackenzie Weegar is the Calgary Flames' best defenseman. And I say that as a huge Rasmus Anderson fan. But I think if the Flames move on from Rasmus Anderson, they're moving on from their second-best defenseman.
This from Brent in Calgary. The biggest asset the Flames have is salary headroom, allowing them to being one of the only teams for other teams to fix mistakes for a price. I agree, and it's something that Craig Conroy remains fully open to.
Mm-hmm.
He was really open to it at the trade deadline. They were hoping that maybe they could find a player that could help them and could help another team, but there were zero salary retention moves made on deadline day this year, so it didn't work out.
Yeah, I know that's something that not only is Craig Conroy open to doing, that's something Craig Conroy wants to do.
Yeah.
He wants to park a contract for another team in exchange for an asset. He is actively pursuing those opportunities. I think the reason that you're seeing less and less of them is that teams have, you know, we talked at length all season about the pick that the Calgary Flames would be sending to the Montreal Canadiens and the risk of what if the pick was here. And that was a salary dump. They gave away a first round pick to the Montreal Canadiens to take Sean Monahan off their hands. And now in hindsight, because the way that they reconstructed their roster that summer hasn't been fruitful. Like, this new core has not had the results that summer of Brad was supposed to have in Calgary. And so now you're sending a first-round pick out the door, and you haven't sort of enjoyed the rewards of the salary dump anyways. In fact, Monahan's turned into a pretty good player again that you paid to go away. And, you know, I think the Flames, in some ways, as they try to find a partner for one of those trades, have become one of the many cautionary tales about, hey, be careful what you're willing to give up to give a salary away, because those picks in a salary cap era where you need young players to be difference makers, those picks are really darn valuable.
This one comes from Will in South Calgary. Rick Bonus mentioned on TV that Carolina needs to improve its center. How about Kadri to the Canes? Trade Kadri and Anderson to the Canes. Get to the bottom of the draft in the years to come to get that high-end skill this team needs bad. Let me say this, less about the tanking on purpose, those types of things. We know the Flames aren't interested in doing that. But I also don't think the Flames are actively shopping Nazem Kadri, and I don't think are going to be going down that road. They feel like Kadri is a big part of, yes, obviously right now, but also a big part of, you know, really setting the tone for the future with this team and being, look, watching Nazem Kadri go about his business the last 2 years, that's an asset to have to guys like Connor Zeri and Matt Coronato and Dustin Wolf and Zane Perak and so on and so forth. And so I think they want that in their locker room. That being said, if a team comes to them with a deal that is too good to pass up or good enough to at least have a discussion about, of course they will.
Yeah.
But they're not actively looking to move any of these core six guys outside of Anderson, whose situation is a little bit different.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. And we're not that far off having to talk about Michael Backlund's situation again, right? Like that's a contract that is going to be coming up sooner than later, and there will be some discussions around Michael Backlund's future with the Flames. But at this point, I couldn't agree more. The Flames are not looking to bottom out. In fact, they're sort of bolstered by the fact that they nearly snuck into a playoff spot without any sort of additions throughout this season. And so I don't expect them to be actively trying to find homes for their core pieces. Now, is Nazem Kadri, who continues to play some of the best hockey of his career in his mid-30s, an appealing piece for a contender? Absolutely. And if he has another season like he has for his past two, you're going to get a lot of calls about him. I just don't think they're actively looking to go through that.
Yeah, I agree. This from our buddy Shubes, who says, hey, Mantha won't be back with the Flames next season, correct? Any chance the Flames re-sign him, or is he as good as gone? I would be surprised if we saw Mantha back. I think the emergence of Matt Coronato, the acquisition of Farabee, the emergence of Klapka in the last month of the season, I just don't know where a guy like Mantha fits. And I hate saying that because, like, what a bad piece of luck that he had to endure with that torn ACL that he sustained in his hometown. Like, just crappy luck. But it was a one-year contract to see if there could be some chemistry with Huberdeau. Well, Huberdeau found some pretty good chemistry with Kadri, and they turned into Calgary's number one line.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just, as much as I like Mantha, and I thought that he was actually trending in a decent direction before the injury, the injury opened the door for Matt Coronato. Matt Coronato took full advantage of that situation, and they went and acquired a guy like Farabee, and Klapka really started to show what he's all about. Yeah, and who knows who else they might have an eye on this offseason on the wing. If there's a right shot guy they could get their hands on, they'd be interested in doing that. So, I'd be surprised if Mantha's back.
Yeah, I'd be really surprised. They already have too many top nine wingers. You know, when you
middle six wingers, right?
When you go through and see names like Coleman and Farabee, Sharon Govich, Klapka, Pospisil, you know, there's too many guys for the number of roles there. I know that they'll want to provide some opportunity for Sam Hanzak at training camp. although his first full pro season may not have hinted that he's going to knock the door down. He certainly did at training camp last year. I know they'd like some opportunity for a guy like Matvei Gridin to come in and really try and force their hand and make a case that he, like Hanzek did last fall, should start his first pro season in the NHL rather than the AHL. And so for all those reasons, I don't think Anthony Mantha makes a ton of sense for the Flames. And while Mantha looked and saw opportunity in Calgary this past offseason, I also don't think he's going to see the same. I think as a guy who's going to be signing another one-year deal or potentially even settling for PTO, I just don't think it makes a ton of sense on either side.
Yeah, I'm with you. I also know the Flames want to have more space open. They don't want Tyson Barrie's and Anthony Mantha's and those types of names to be in spots that could be won by young players. They don't want to have an injury be the reason a Coronado got into the lineup this year. They want to be able to have a guy who they want to have the ability to have two or three guys force their hand at camp, whether it's Gridin or Parekh or Brustevich or whoever, Klapka, Morton, whoever we want to be talking about.
Yeah.
They want to have Kuznetsov, multiple guys force their hand at training camp. So I think you're going to see them be very, very quiet in free agency unless it's one of the targeted guys that they've got on their board.
Yeah.
And I also think that's why, you know, we're going to see them being pretty judicious when it comes to who they re-sign as pending UFAs, which is why a Hanley, which is why a Mantha, the guys like that aren't necessarily high on their list of getting re-signed either, I think.
Yeah, I think they learned or at least had reinforced a valuable lesson with the Tyson Barrie situation. And, you know, Tyson Barrie and even Joel Hanley before him were just parked in reserve roles for the Flames. They weren't playing and they were blocking kids. You know, we saw the team bring Solovyov and Kuznetsov up for a few practices right after their bye or after the Four Nations break. And part of the explanation was, there hasn't been an opportunity for a young defenseman. We need to show these guys that we believe in them and that they're close. And that goes to what they've been talking about for a couple of seasons now, and it's been a priority for Craig Conroy to leave opportunity for the kids. When he signed Tyson Barrie after that PTO, he took away opportunity, and I think that's a mistake that he'll be very cautious not to repeat.
Get to a few more here on our Flames Talk mailbag. This one comes...
This is how you subtly tell me to kind of pick it up for the next few?
No, because we only got a few left, so we're pacing well. Tyson says, what do you think Noah Dobson's status is? With the Islanders having the number one overall pick, would they consider moving on from Dobson in a trade? Would Rasmus Brustevich and a pick get it done? Noah Dobson is a restricted free agent. He's showing up on a lot of those. Ooh, could somebody offer Sheet Dobson? He's a 25-year-old right shot D. I like Dobson. I just don't think right shot defense is something they really need to be overly worried about. Now, we're assuming the Islanders will be selecting Matthew Schaefer in the first overall slot next month. But I don't know. I don't know if Noah Dobson was a left shot defenseman, I would be pounding the table. As do I. He could be representing Canada at the Olympics. But
yeah,
I don't know if he would be at the top of my list. Like, that's why Bowen Byram makes as much sense as he does to so many people, is because he's a left shot. That's why even Samuelson, who's the kind of next guy behind Byram on the left side in Buffalo, makes a lot of sense if you're a team like the Flames who desperately need a left side defenseman right now. So I just don't know if Dobson is the guy that, because you go and acquire him, and even if Anderson's a part of the return going the other way, you're still in the same spot where you got Uyghur and Parekh. I don't know if Dobson would be the guy for me, but I like the question.
It would have been a more obvious fit, I think, for me a year ago before Zane Parekh had the draft plus one season that he did. And that's not me saying, you know, that nothing can go wrong in terms of Zane Perrette's ascent, but I've been so blown away by the numbers and the glimpse so far that I'd be really cautious about loading up that right side.
Couple more at 960. I wanted to read a couple more. This one from Justin. What's the least compensation the Flames would accept if Kevin Ball is offer sheeted? Let me tell you this. If he were to sign an offer sheet, boy, I don't think it would be of the type of money that would get the Flames a first round pick in return.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be over 4.68 mil on an AAV. I just can't see a team offer sheeting Ball for more than that. And if they did, I'm sure the Flames would happily take the first round pick at this point and pivot.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if it's under that, I think they match. I do. I think they would be ready to match anything realistic that Ball would end up signing an offer sheet for.
It's a really good text because I'll be perfectly honest. I hadn't considered Ball as an offer sheet candidate. Obviously, any RFA with a certain number of pro seasons can be offer sheeted. I hadn't really considered the possibility. You know, there's teams that are dying for defensive minded defensemen, and so I suppose it probably shouldn't have kind of caught me by surprise the way it did. But yeah, I think anything that doesn't result in a first rounder, they're probably willing to match. You said 4.6 is the
4.68 is the threshold that goes from giving up a second round pick to a first and a second round pick, I believe.
I always sort of imagined that Kevin Ball's next deal would put him in the 4 to 4.5 range. So in that case, you're probably happy to have the contract done and you're hanging on to him.
And if they go over that, if it's somebody signs him to a 3x5 offer sheet, if you're the Flames, you take the first and the third round pick, I think.
Absolutely, and that's no knock at all on
Ball at all.
Yeah.
Last one from Mark. Does Coronado see the same uptick he had this year next year? That was a pretty big jump from being a guy who's not ready to be in the NHL to being an impact NHLer. So, I don't know, actual scale of the jump may not be as big. Mm-hmm. But I do think we see him take another step. Because I think we're going to see a consistent Matt Coronado from the get-go. I think we're going to see Calgary's probably number one goal-scoring threat from the get-go this season, as opposed to that evolving from puck drop this year. I think, Coronado, Kadri, probably your top two threats goal-scoring-wise for this team.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'd put the possibility that Yegor Sharangovich can sort of muscle his way back into that conversation. Maybe muscle is not the right word, although it would be a big part of him getting back in there would be a little bit more engagement in his competitiveness. But I would just caution that if Matt Coronado's season is a repeat of this season, that wouldn't be a disappointment. If the numbers look a lot like they did this year, while that wouldn't be an uptick, I think the Flames would be quite fine with that.
Yep, I agree. Good stuff on the text line. A fun Flames Talk mailbag. That'll be our mailbag for May. We'll be back with one because Flames Talk will go on hiatus for about 2.5 weeks starting next week. And then we're back for draft week on the 23rd of June leading up to the 2025 NHL draft. So we'll do a mailbag one day that week. But that'll be our last mailbag for a while. Great stuff on the text line at 960-960. Hey, it's underway. Sportsnet 960, the fan. Excited to be a part of the citywide 50-50 in support of brown bagging for Calgary's kids. We're doing this across the city.
with all of our partners in the building, like Star and Jack and 660, City TV, and more. And 50% of a huge pot could be yours. The other half is going to Brown Bagging for Calgary's Kids. For over 30 years, Brown Bagging has been dedicated to ensuring every child in our city has access to the food they need to thrive. BB4CK, or Brown Bagging for Calgary's Kids, committed to providing low barrier, dignified access to food, ensuring every child feels cared for and supported by their community. Tickets are $5 for one, $10 for five, $25 for 25, and it just keeps on going up to $100 for 500 tickets. We've got early bird prizes to give away as well all through June, and the grand prize draw is July 4th. The website to purchase tickets, citywide5050.com, or text the word money to 96960 to get a link sent to you. But citywide5050.com is the website. Raffle number 731-699. Check it out one more time at citywide5050.com.